I thought about this particular message is actually over a month ago now, as I was thinking about and trying to get the Lord's direction on what to share with you. Jesus' crucifixion lasted for 6 hours. His crucifixion began around 9 in the morning. At noon, 3 hours later, the sky became dark, and it became very difficult to see. Another 3 hours of darkness, and then Jesus cried out and gave up his spirit. During those 6 hours that Jesus suffered, he was harangued by leaders from the city of Jerusalem. The Roman soldiers that had brutally beaten him also mocked him and made fun of him as he was hanging on the cross. But the most surprising people to begin mocking him were the two men that were crucified beside him. John tells us they were crucified on either side of him. And they too entered in and made mockery of Jesus. It was nearing noon during that time when one of those two men had a revelation. Something happened inside his heart and inside of his mind. And he changed his way of thinking. It would mean a change for eternity for this man. Crucifixion was a terrible way to die. It was designed to inflict the most pain and humiliation imaginable. The Romans reserved it for only the people who they considered the worst of their society. Slaves who had rebelled against their masters or against the Roman government. Insurrectionists who simply created trouble in the culture and the society. And rebellious slaves, all of whom were seen as potential people to be crucified. The writers of the gospel identify the two men crucified with Jesus with two different terms. One of them is robbers, or bandits is the term that is used. The other term that was used in the gospels for them was insurrectionist. It is often translated as criminals. An insurrectionist was somebody who used political motivations, supposedly, to cover over criminal behavior. So I'm a freedom fighter. That gives me the right to take all your money and beat you senseless in the process. So that is what you need to think of about these two men. That's why they were on the cross. That's why they were in this circumstance. They had made it to the cross by their own actions and decisions. And yet one of them would have a change of heart after hanging with Jesus for 3 hours. That change of heart would make a world of difference. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42 through 43, we read, And then he, being the thief, said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to understand. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory and honor. Amen. Here is a little video about VWs and memory. I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. Love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. And then I saw her face. I'm a believer. Volkswagen, das Auto. So if you're good in this life, you get something better in the next. In 1981, the Veterans Administration, in an attempt to bring closure to the Vietnam War, ran a nationwide contest to select a suitable war memorial to be installed in Washington, D.C. It was to include all the names of those who were killed in action or were missing in action during the Vietnam War. That was over 58,000 names. It was quite a contest. A young undergraduate student submitted her design along with over 1,400 other people. The response was so large that they had to literally rent an airplane hangar in order to display all of the design ideas to be examined. In order to make sure that the competition was fair and unbiased, they assigned numbers randomly to each of the designs. The commission then went through and judged all of the designs, and they went through all 1,400 plus designs. Finally, a design, I believe it was 1096, caught their eye. And they said, "This is the one." When they found out who it was, they arrived at this student's dorm room on Yale University, knocked on her door, and told her that she had now designed the Vietnam Memorial. She was not a professional architect. She had not even finished her undergraduate work in college. What is even more surprising is that the submission that she had put in had been originally done for a class, a design class that she was in at Yale College. The professor in that class had actually given her a B on that design, and he was even more chagrined because he had also submitted a potential memorial and it had been rejected, which I thought was kind of intriguing. Her name was Maya Lin. Her design, when it first came out, and I remember this because I was This was all happening, actually started the year before we got, actually started the year before our son was born. And I remember all of the run-up to that. It was 1981. Big conflict in that whole process. But there was conflict over several different points in it. One was that it was too dark. The choice of the black granite was too dark, and they felt like it gave too dark of a feeling. The other problem was it was not patriotic, and they were upset with that. And another thing that was not that, it didn't honor those who were still living who had served in the Vietnam War. And then it had some less than honorable questions. There were several people that were angry because she was well of Asian heritage. Her parents had come from China. And so that made some people upset. And then there were some people that, well, they just felt like it added to the ugly history of our country on both sides of the political spectrum. Those two could not be addressed. And the commission looked at the design and said, we cannot change the black granite without changing the intent of this design. But they said the other two issues we can address. One of them they addressed by putting up a large flagpole with a large American flag by the monument to remind people that these men and women had died in service to their country. And the other one they addressed by placing a statue with the memorial representing three servicemen in their various uniforms from the Vietnam era to remind people there were still people that had served and given their service in the Vietnam War. I remember the controversy that boiled over the months leading up to groundbreaking on this memorial. It was a troubling time in our nation's history. And yet, it gave healing to a nation torn apart. It was a wonderful example of how memory and remembering can change things. Job writes in chapter 19, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved in a rock with an iron pen and lead," and meaning that literally molten lead was poured into those words to cement them for history. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job has a cry that all of us have. Remember me! Remember who I was, what I did, why I am. But the truth of the circumstance is that the Vietnam Memorial, with all of its beauty and all of its memory and all of its wonderful things, will one day be forgotten if the Lord tarries. It will one day be forgotten, as all memorials that humans build are forgotten. They just are. It's the nature of the world. What struck me about Lynn's story, Maya Lynn's story, was the inspiration for her memorial. She had, as an undergraduate student, even before her junior year, spent a great deal of time in the Yale Rotunda. In the Yale Rotunda, the marble walls of that rotunda have listed the people that have died in service to the nation. And each time a Yale student who has died in service to the nation is killed serving our country, literally stonemasons come in and chisel their name into that wall. And she talks about going through that rotunda and touching those names and watching them being carved into that wall. And the power of that moment for her. And she said that was really the beginning of the inspiration for the Vietnam Memorial, a concept of memory and healing, feeling that those people were still a part of what was happening. To be remembered is important, and we desire desperately to be remembered. But there are certain things that we would rather not be remembered. Roman crucifixion was a brutal form of execution. We have two skeletons that are crucifixion victims. It may surprise you, but the Romans crucified, well, hundreds of thousands of people. We think about Jesus' crucifixion, but over the period of the Roman Empire, hundreds of thousands of men and women were crucified. What happened to all their bodies? Why have we only found two skeletons that show signs of crucifixion? The reason is that most of the bodies were dumped in garbage pits. And were scavenged by animals. And that's why we don't have many of them. However, one of the bodies that they found somehow got covered in an old drain system. And when they discovered it, it wasn't in real good shape, but they could tell that it had been a victim of crucifixion. But in 1968, in Jerusalem, they were working on a highway area, and they uncovered a first century grave complex of a wealthy Jewish family. And in one of the ossuaries, which was a bone box, they found the skeleton of a small child, and they found the skeleton of a young man who died between the age of 26 and 30. And to their absolute amazement, he was the victim of crucifixion. This is his heel bone. It still has the nail through it. We even know his name. Yohanan, son of Ezekiel. It was an amazing find. And while we still don't know exactly how the Romans attached the bodies to the crosses, we do know from the marks on his skeleton that it was a horrific way to die. We don't know how this young man got to the cross, but we do know that thousands upon thousands of Jewish people were crucified. Pilate himself crucified numbers of Jewish people. This young man may well have been one of those crucified under Pilate. This world that they lived in was a world where people were crucified because they had done something against the government. They had done something against other people. Bandits were often picked up, and as soon as they stood before a magistrate, they were sent straight to crucifixion. That was the world they lived in. And that is not something that we would want for our family members or a friend. In fact, most of us, thankfully, wouldn't even want that for our worst enemy. It was a terrible way to die. These two men that were hanging with Jesus had earned their way there. And yet, for their own anger and their own deflection and their own desire to push their own shame off on someone else, they were again joining in, as Matthew tells us, in attacking Jesus. And as the day wore on, they heard him say about the people crowded around the foot of the cross, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Perhaps that is the statement, because it is mentioned in Luke's gospel. Perhaps that statement is the one that got a hold of the heart of this one criminal as it approached the noon hour. It was a time when his friend began again berating Jesus. "If you are the Christ, come down off the cross. And if you're really the Christ, take us down off the cross." And finally, this man had had enough. And he says, "Listen, we're here because we've done something to deserve it. We're being punished this way because we earned our way here." This man didn't do anything to deserve this. And then, in a moment of anguish that comes right out of Job, he says, "Lord, remember me." Lord, remember me. If you can forgive these people who did this to you, can you forgive me and remember me? In Psalm 25, it says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. but do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake. Wow. God, remember me. Remember me. Isn't that neat? There is a time in our lives when we want God to remember us, but there's also a time when we don't want Him to remember certain things about us. And that is one of the wonderful truths of this story. Jesus says to him, I will remember you. In fact, you'll be with me in just a few hours. The Vietnam Memorial begins at the center, a center wall that is 10 foot high. At the very top of that memorial, on the east wall that runs toward the Washington Monument, is the date 1959. And without any other statement or any other facts or any other items being stated on the wall, it begins listing the names in chronological order on that wall. Here's a little bit about the wall.
Inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial are the names of more than 58,000 American service members who gave their lives or remain missing. The wall stands more than 10 feet tall at its highest point and is nearly 500 feet long. It's made up of 140 numbered panels that come together in a V shape at the apex. The listing of names starts in the center of the wall, which is also its highest point. At the top of panel 1 east is the year 1959. The names are then listed chronologically by date of casualty, progressing from panel to panel and line by line going east. The names then resume at the shortest end of the western wall, progressing toward the center where the beginning and end of the war meet. Panel West 1 ends with the year 1975. Each name on the wall includes a symbol designating status. The diamond symbol denotes that the service member's death was confirmed. The cross symbol designates those who were listed as missing at the end of the war. When a service member's remains are returned or otherwise accounted for, the diamond symbol is superimposed over the cross.
The polished granite of the wall was a wonderful choice, because as you stand in front of that wall, and I've stood in front of models of that wall that have that same polished granite, you see yourself in the lives of those people. And that is a powerful moment. When we look into Christ, we see ourselves. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, we then as workers together with him also plead with you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. Two additions were made to Maya's original design. The statue of three veterans and the flagpole, reminding us of the importance of decisions. These people had made decisions to serve their country. to honor their country. And that is something that is wonderful about this monument. It reminds us of the great scar on our souls when we lose someone, but we don't forget them. The thief on the cross put a scar on the soul of God. And God said, I won't forget you. I will not forget who you were. Job would cry out to God, so a man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. It is important to be remembered by Jesus. The thief asked one thing. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. But Jesus gave him far more than he could have imagined. Jesus said, in just a few hours, you will be with me in paradise. The Apostle Paul tells us that whenever a person dies in Christ, they go to be with Christ until the resurrection. That is a wonderful thing, because if we are in Christ, we are remembered by Him. And that memory is eternal. And that's a wonderful thing. Whether you are remembered at the very last minute on the cross, like the thief was, or you have spent your entire life almost in service to Christ, you are remembered. And that is what it's all about. Would you stand with me? Just a moment, I'm going to play a song in closing. Have a song played for in closing. I'd like for you to think about it. But let's take time to pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus remembers us. Thank you that you remember us. Praise be your name. That you do not remember our failures, our faults, and our sins. But you remember us, for we are a scar on your soul that reminds you of who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.